Okay, today's daf is Mem Hey. We're going to start back at Mem Dalet Amabet, toward the top at the two dots, Olechutz Laharetz. We'll start with Refuot Shlemo, Tvara Batina, Ozavram Shimon Ben Chana, Karmi Ben Imo, Olipnina Bar Rachel Friedachai, Malka Esther Bat Zipara, Dania Ben Mirim Chai Ruth, Yosef Ben Rachel, Bar Rivka, Rafal Yoshua Kalik Ben Bracha Bati, Yente Mirim Bat Chana Rachel, Avram Ben Zohar, Yael Mirim Bat Chaya. Before we start, I want to go back to the Mishnah yesterday. When we started out, we had some questions and I didn't answer them all yesterday. Hamocher Avdolo Avdei Kochavim was in the Mishnah. So in terms of what I forgot to mention was the important point we learned a few dapim ago, that when you sell your Eved to someone else, to an Avdei Kochavim, you can't, his body's not sold, only his Maasei Yadayim, if you remember that. So that's why there's this whole issue that he still is owned by the original owner. He never actually leaves his reshut entirely. So he's just sold for the proceeds of his work. Since his body can't be sold to the non-Jew, therefore he still belongs to the original person. And therefore, he needs a get shechur. Okay, really, he doesn't need a get shechur. Really, if he ran away from the owner or the guy bought him back, he would go back to being his slave. And that's why there's the issue of the knas. In other words, the knas is that he will never be your slave. In other words, we want to discourage you from doing this because you're preventing him from doing mitzvot, kamosha tzarich, and therefore we want to prevent you from doing it, so we're going to punish you by not allowing him to ever go back to you. Okay, when really, according to halacha, he should. Okay, today we're going to now deal with the second part of the Mishnah, which is olechutz al aretz. Okay, so Tana Rabbanan. Hamochir avdo lechutz al aretz yatsa lechirut v'tzarich get shichur merabo sheni. If you notice in the Mishnah, it didn't say who gives him the get shichur. In the first case, it was obviously the Rabbo Rishon, because we're not asking the Ovei Kochavim to give him. In this case, he actually gufo kanoi to the second guy, right? He's living in Israel. He sells him to a Jew living in chutz aretz. If he's selling him to a Jew, so his body is sold to the other person. So therefore, who's giving him the get shechur now? The Rabbo Sheni. Okay, now we're going to discuss this, because who did the wrongdoing here? In other words, the first one shouldn't have sold him, right? On the other hand, the second one shouldn't have purchased him, okay? Then we're going to see this back and forth in a few minutes. But right now we're going to say that, according to this Braita, who needs to give the get shechur? The Rabbo Sheni. Now, it's obvious why the Rabbo Sheni should, because he's owned by him. He's no longer owned by the first one. So even though you might have thought, well, the knas should be on the Rabbo Rishon, here it turns out the Rabbo Sheni. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, pa'amim yatsa, pa'amim lo yatsa. Okay, sometimes he goes to chirut, sometimes he doesn't. Ketzad. How does this happen, that sometimes he goes free and sometimes he doesn't? Amar ploni avdi mechartiu leploni antochi lo yatsa. La antochi shabantiochia yatsa. Shabantochia yatsa. So now we're going to say it depends whether he said, I sold my slave to so-and-so, whose name happens to be like a non, you know, outside of Israel type of name. In that case, it's not clear that he sold him to chutz aretz. It could be a guy living in Israel. But if he says, I sold him to Antochi Shabantochia, then he gets to go free. V'hatanya, but wait a minute, isn't there a braita that says, Mechartiu l'antochi yatsa. L'antochi shasharoi below lo yatsa. Now there's a braita that shows the exact opposite. If you, according to our Mishnah, according to our braita we just saw a minute ago, if you didn't specify where the guy lived, then we can assume he still lived in Israel. According to the second Braita, only if you specify that he lived in Israel can we assume it was in Israel. Otherwise, if he had a name that sounded like a Chutz La'aretz name, you can assume that it was in Chutz La'aretz. So then the answer, lo kashya. There's no machloka between these two sources. It depends on the situation. Ha de'ile beita be'eretz Israel. Ha de'ile ushbiza be'eretz Israel. If this guy Antochi, obviously the idea is this guy Antochi has two houses. Okay, this is very popular nowadays, right? You have someone with a non-Israeli name living in Israel, right? Many people like that. And the question is there, if you sold him a slave, how do we know whether you sold him a slave to work in his house in Israel or you sold him a slave to work in his house in, let's say, America? Okay? So if, right, it's relevant and not relevant. Obviously, we have no Avadim Knanim anymore. But assuming we did, so now, if he has his house in Israel, then you can assume, if you just say Antochi, that you meant his house in Israel. But if he only had a guest house in Israel, meaning, right, his main residence, where's his residence? Place of residence is America. But his vacation home is in Israel. If that's the case, then you can assume, unless you specify, that was the second breakdown, unless you specify specifically it's in Israel, then you can assume you sold him to Chutz Laaretz, and then he would go free. Okay, by Rabbi Yirmiya. Now I started, this stuff I charted out on the page. Rabbi Yirmiya again asks the question. Ben Bavel shenasa isha be'eretz Yisrael. If you marry someone in Israel, okay, you live in Bavel, you marry a woman in Israel, v'ichnisa lo avadim u'shvachot. Now she, as part of her nedunya, right, her dowry, she comes in, remember the nichsei tzom barzel, she comes in with certain property that she's going to leave with, okay? Now before we read inside, I'll just explain to you. There's a machloket about what does it mean she leaves the marriage with this property. Okay, she comes in with certain things. In this case, the important things could be the avadim. She comes in with the avadim. She brings them into the marriage. At the end of the marriage, does she walk out with the actual items? Could she say, I want these actual items? Or does she just walk out? Now, nichsei tzom barzel, what does it mean? It means she gets them according to the value they were at the day she went into the marriage. So if they went down in value, they went up in value, it doesn't matter. She gets the value they were at the time of the marriage. When she leaves with these, according to the second opinion, she doesn't get to take them with her. It's the husband's right to keep the slaves or whatever it might be. She, what does she do? She gets the value of it. He can pay her money or give it in some other form, anything he wants. So there's a machloket about it. So now Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to say that I have a question. Either way you see the machloket, okay? If a guy lives in Chutz Laaretz and he lives in Babel and he marries a woman in Israel, and she brings in avadim u'shvachot, okay, v'da'ato lachzor, and he was planning to move to Bavel. So now, mahu, what's the status of these avadim? Do they go free? Because what is he in essence doing? He's taking the avadim of the woman and he's bringing them to Bavel, to Chutz Laaretz, so shego l'chirut. So what's his question though? Why is it a question? Tibai laman da'amar hadin ima, and tibai laman da'amar hadin imo. You can ask the question both whether you say that she gets the stuff at the end, Hadini Ma, or whether you say he gets the avadim in the end and just has to pay her the value. How does it work? Tibai laman damar Hadini Ma. Why? Kevan de Hadin Ima. Do we say since she will bring those slaves home eventually? If they get divorced or he dies, she's going to go back to Israel, in which case, Kidida damu, they're like hers. And basically, if they're like hers, then they don't go free because they're going to eventually go back to Israel. O Dilma, kevan de mishab de le, lepeira, kidide dame. Or do we say that since they're mishuabad to him, like the fruits, right? He gets the proceeds of this eved, that basically it's like it belongs to him. In which case, the eved would go free. V'tibai lamanda amar hadini mo. Now, if you say that he gets to keep the eved, no matter what, right? He can give her the value of them. Still, you can ask a question. Kevanda hadini mo kedide dami. Do we say that since he gets to keep them, it's like they're his, in which case the eved should go free? O dilma kevanda lo kane le legufe kedide damu. Or do we say he actually never owns the eved himself? He only owns the masei adayim. And even eventually, if he's going to keep the eved in eventually, at this point he only owns the proceeds of it. If he does eventually, then it's like at the end. But at this point, he's not koneh the eved himself. But even if in the end he gets the eved, it still belongs to her. It's basically considered hers, even if he gives her the value of it. So therefore, is it like his? Is it like hers? Because he never really owns the eved. Take, okay? And then, like many of Rabbi Yirmiyah's questions, we don't have an answer to them, okay? We don't know how to view this. I'm a Rabbi Aval. Shinali Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan taught me, Evet sheyatza achar rabo l'suria, umecharo sham rabo yatza l'cheirut. If the Eved follows, let's say the master moves to Suria, and the Eved goes with him, and this and the master sells the Eved there. So when he sells him, yatzal lechirut. So now they say, wait, the Hatani Rabbi Chia ibed et zchuto. As soon as the Eved, what does this sound like? Eved sheyatzal harabo sounds like the Eved decided to follow him. So why is he yatzal lechirut? According to the bright of Rabbi Chia, because he chose to leave, it's not the Adon's fault. So when the Adon later sells him, well, you know, that's not, he doesn't do anything wrong, because at that point, the Eved himself had already decided to live in Chutz La'aretz. So it's not the Adon that's causing him to lose his rights. So then the answer, lo kasha. Kan shedat rabo lachzor, kan she'ein dat rabo lachzor. It depends what the intent of the Adon was when he left. If he just left to go for a while and was planning to come back, and the Eved went with him for a while, planning to come back, well, then there's no, he wasn't ma'abed any zchuyot. And then if while they were there hanging out for a little while, he sold him to someone there, well, then it's the Adon's fault and the Eved goes free. But if the Adon was planning to stay there, the master planned to stay there forever, and the Eved decided to join him, well, then the Eved already lost his rights as soon as he made that decision to go on his own. Another question, though. And now this is the further proof of this. Sorry. Now we're going to see a proof, but in order to get the proof, we're going to have to better understand this braita, because right now it's not so clear. V'hatanya yotzei ha'eved achar rabo l'suria. Doesn't it say that the Eved has to follow his, and if his master's going, he has to follow him, even if it's chutz la'aretz? So first of all, they say, what do you mean? Yotzei lo sage de lo nafik? What do you mean? He doesn't have a choice in the matter? Of course he has a choice in the matter. V'hatznan, if you remember this, we learned this in Ketubot, the end of Ketubot, with all the sugyas about Eretz Yisrael and those Tzioni sugyas there at the end. Ve'ein hakol motzin. Okay, this is, can you force your wife to leave Israel, right? Or did your wife have to go with you if you decide to leave Israel or not? And what about your Eved? Okay, Ela, yet. Okay, so therefore it says, ein hakol motzin. You can't force your Eved or your wife to leave Israel. If they decide they want to stay, they're allowed to. If you decide you want to make Yerida, and your spouse or your Eved doesn't want to go, you can't force them to go. So therefore, you can't say that the Braita means that Yotzei Eved Acharabo L'Suria is that the Adon forces the Eved to go with him. No, he doesn't. So therefore, what must it mean? Ela, Yatzaha Eved Acharabo L'Suria. Now they're adding on lots of words to this Braita because they're saying it doesn't make sense like this. It must mean, and then it's going to prove what we just tried to prove a minute ago. If Yatzaha Eved, if he went on his own after Rabo L'Suria, Umicharo Rabo Sham, and then his master sells him there. We're about 7 lines from the bottom. Im dat rabo lachzor kofinoto. Vim ein dat rabo lachzor ein kofinoto. Then it depends whether the master intended to go back in the first place, and if he wasn't planning to live there, then when he sells him, that's his ticket to freedom. But if the Eved followed him and they were planning to stay there permanently, and the Eved made his own decision to come along with him, then at that point, when you sell him, when the Adon sells him, it's not his fault, basically. The slave already gave up on his rights for that, okay? On his rights to mitzvot. And then, therefore, when you sell him to somebody else, you didn't do anything wrong. And there's no knas. Amar Rav Anan, Shmat minei demar Shmuel tarte. Okay, now Rav Anan comes and says, we learn from our Shmuel two things. Now, we're not going to know yet what these two things are. Chadahach, we know what general context they are, but he's going to explain something that he doesn't really know. One has to do with our issue of selling a slave in Chutz La'aretz. V'idach, and the other one is di'itmar, it's a machloket here that we know. Hamocher sadeu b'shnat hayovel atzma. Rav amar mechura v'yotza, u'shmuel amar ena mechura kol ikar. What happens in the Yovel year? All land that was sold to someone before the Yovel year goes back to its original owners. That's all when the Yovel year hits, right? As soon as the Yovel year goes in, all land from before goes back to its original owner that was sold. What if you sell property during the Yovel year? What happens to that? Okay? If it's during the Yovel year, there's a machloket. Rav says it's sold and then it goes back. In other words, you sell it and then it goes back to its original owner immediately. Shmuel says there's no sale at all because you're not doing anything. There is no sale. So now we're going to talk about Shmuel. And Shmuel in our issue and Shmuel in this issue. Bechada, what Rav Anan does know about this, is Bechada hadriz vine, u'bechada lo hadriz vine. In one of them, the money goes back, okay? And in the other one, the money doesn't go back. Both of these are sales that are no good, right? You sell your eved chutz laretz, right? What happens? He goes free. So it's basically not a good sale. You sell your property during the Shemitah year, it's not a good sale. So what does it mean it's not a good sale? Do you get your money back or do you not get your money back? Do we say it's not a good sale, but the money went anyway, tough luck? Or do we say the money goes back? So now, what we know about Shmuel, Rav Hanan saying, is that in one case the money goes back, and in the other case the money doesn't go back. But we don't know in which case. Okay? So now, I'm a Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, let's figure it out. Nechze ana midetani bebraita, since it says in the Braita like this, Hamocher avdo l'chutz laretz, yatsa l'chirut, v'tzarich get shichmor v'rabo sheni. That was the first thing we started with today. Remember, who gives the get shichmor? The rabo sheni. What does that prove? Do you get your money back or not? You don't get your money back because the Evan belongs to the Rabo Sheni. So while it's true he goes free, the sale is a good sale. The money gets kept by the first guy because now the owner of this slave is the Rabo Sheni. So Shma Mina, Kanya Rabo Sheni, Velo Hadre Zvine, and the money doesn't go back. V'chi Amar Shmuel Hatam, Eina Mechura Uma'ot Chozrin. Okay, and when Rav Shmuel said it there, Eina Mechura, what did he mean? It's not sold. The land, if you sell it during the Yovel year, and the money goes back. Okay? So in that case, the money goes back. In this case, it doesn't. Our case, it doesn't. So now they want to know, why didn't Rav Anan know this? He must have seen the Braita also. Right? Why did he say, I don't know which is which? So now they say, Rav Anan Braita lo shmiale. He just, right, why didn't he know? Because he didn't know that Braita. Now, just because the Braita exists doesn't mean he had access to that Braita. V'imi de Shmuel, and if you just had Shmuel who said it's ena mechura kol ikar, you might not have assumed that the money automatically goes back. Why? Mimai de ena mechura ma'ot chuzrin, dilma ena mechura u'ma'ot matana ninu. Midi dehave amakadesh et achoto. Maybe you would have thought that it's not sold. However, when you gave the person the money, and as you bought this land in the Yovel year. What's the story? You knew you can't buy land in the Yovel year and it was going to go back. So why did you give the guy money? Because you meant the money to be a matana. Okay? Just like the case if you marry your sister. Okay? De'itmar, what's this thing about marrying your sister? Ha'mekadeshet achoto, right? You can't marry your sister. What if you did marry your sister now and give, in getting engaged, right? This is halachic engagement. You pass over money usually, right? Something that's monetary value, right? You can be mekadesh b'kesef b'shtar b'biya, but assuming you did it with money. So, what's the situation? Rav amar ma'ot chozrin. Rav says the money goes back because you didn't do anything. Ushmuel amar ma'ot matana. Now, why does he say ma'ot matana? Because he says everyone knows that you can't marry your sister. So, obviously, what were you doing in giving her the money? You were giving her a gift. So, therefore, he's saying the same thing with Yovel. Now, why doesn't Rav agree? Right? Or why wouldn't... So, now... Why would we, in the end, why don't we say this is the case with the Yovel? And we say the Ma'ot do go back, because you can distinguish between the Ma'ot, that it could be more obvious to people that it goes, that the Mikadesh Achoto is no good. Everybody knows you can't marry your sister, whereas in the Yovel year, you might not know. You might think the beginning of the Yovel year, everything goes back to its original owner, but maybe once the beginning is over, then maybe during the Yovel year, you actually could. So it's all a matter of what we can assume people know or don't know about halacha, really. And then the question is, so therefore, if you gave money anyway, knowing that this wouldn't go through, did you mean I'm just giving them a gift or not? Okay. Now we're going to get back to the discussion about, okay, so Amar le'abaye le'Rav Yosef. He says to Rav Yosef now, okay, according to Rav Yosef, what did he say? He quoted this braita about, Tzarich get shechmor mi'Rav Osheini. So he says, my chazit tekansina le'lokech, Niknes elamocher, right? Shouldn't we, going back to our original question, and we started with today, shouldn't we say the knas is on the person who sold it and not the person who bought it? So Amarle, now they give an example with a mouse in a hole. Now a mouse steals food. What does he do with the food? He hides it and he takes it and he hides it away and stores it in his mouse hole. Okay, so now what's more important here? Is it the mouse stole the food, and without the mouse, he wouldn't be able to steal the food? Or do we say, without the hole, he wouldn't be able to steal the food because if he has nowhere to store it, what's the purpose of stealing it? Right? We're obviously talking about, you know, if he ate already a little bit, but, you know, the rest of it he's storing up. So Amar Leh, Lav Achbara Ganav, Ela Chora Ganav. It's the hole that's the robber. If he didn't have a place to put it, right, it's nice that this guy wants to sell the slave, but if nobody was there to buy it, he would never sell the slave. So it must be the buyer that's responsible, because without the buyer, there's no sale. Obviously, right? So Amar Leh says back to him, Ilav Achbara Chora Manale. Now, the hole would just be an empty hole without the Achbar, right? The guy who bought the slave wouldn't be able to buy it if it weren't for the seller. And obviously, you can make this argument in both ways. So now, the Gemara concludes and says, Mistabra hecha deika isura hatam kansinan. In the end, where does the isur, where is it right now? Right? So let's say the stolen food is in the hole, and the slave is in the hands of the second owner. So therefore, they say in the end, the knas is on the second owner because the isur is in his hands. Okay, the forbidden slave now at this point. Okay, now we're going to have a ma'aseh. Okay, ha'hu avda, we're going to have a few ma'asim today. Ha'hu avda da'arek mechutza la'aretz la'aretz. Arek means he ran away. Okay, this eved ran away from chutza la'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. And once he runs away to Eretz Yisrael, what's the story? If you take him out of Eretz Yisrael, you're now preventing him from doing mitzvot. Okay, so you're not allowed to do that. Azal mare abatre. Okay, his master went after him. And to bring him back, Ata the Kameja Rabiami. Amarle, Nichtov Lach Shtara Adame, Uktov Legita Dechiruta. He said, the Eved has to write a shtar saying, I will give you my value. He has to buy himself out of the deal. And the master has to write him a shtar shechur because he can no longer work for him. So while it's true the Eved has to pay his value to the guy, okay, but he cannot, he's not allowed to work him anymore. He has to give him a get shechor. V'ilo mafkina laminach. And if you don't do that, we're going to force you to do that. Midrabi Acha b'Rabbi Yoshaya. Where do we learn this from? From Rabbi Acha b'Rabbi Yoshaya. Okay, now you're going to have to wait a few minutes, but we're going to get to right now, a little long-winded way, what's this Rabbi Acha b'Rabbi Yoshaya? Ditanya. Okay, now we have a braita. Lo yeshvu ba'artzecha, pen yachtiu otcha. There's going to be two psukim that we're going to have to resolve. One is Shmo Kavkimah, which says that you can't let the people, the Sheva Amu, live in your land because they're going to cause you to sin. Yachol, you might have thought that who's this referring to? Bove kochavim shekibel alav shelo la'avod avodah kochavim, akatub medaber. You might have thought that this is referring to a non-Jew who doesn't go in the non-Jewish way, okay? He wants to keep, let's say, Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. You might have thought that even someone like him is not allowed to, okay? Tamud Lomar, so that you don't get confused and think that that's what it means. There's another pasuk that makes it clear that if someone who takes upon Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, he's allowed to live with you, even if he's from the Sheva Amim. Tamud Lomar, where do we learn this from? Lo tazhir eved el adonav, asher yinatzel elecha me'im adonav. Okay, how do they translate this pasuk? Now, this pasuk we're going to have, if you look at the bottom chart here, the bottom of the page, we're going to have four different explanations of what this pasuk is. The first one relates to what they're talking about right now, which is, this pasuk means, what does it mean, asher yinatzel elecha me'im adonav? It means, if he ran away from his master, okay, how do they translate it in this braita? Not master, but if he runs away from the nation he belongs to, and he wants to join the Jewish people, not as a ger, but as a Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. Therefore, lo tazgir evel adonav, meaning you can't, you know, you have to let him live with you, basically. Okay? That's how they translate this pasuk. So, my takanato, right? What does it mean? So, now you have to read the rest of the pasuk to understand where you see that he can live with you. The next pasuk says, imcha yeshev b'kirbecha mamakom ha'sheivchar b'chad sharecha b'tov lo tanenu. Okay? He gets to live among you. Okay? So that's the first translation of this pasuk. It means a non-Jew wants to take Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach is allowed, okay, the non-Jews living in the land of the Sheva Amim, if they want to take upon Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, they're allowed to live with you. Ukash le'el Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Yoshia says, how can you say the pasuk means that? Hai me'im adonav. The pasuk says, from his master. Right? What should it say if you want to say that? Me'im aviv mibayle, right? It should say, if he wants to run away, right? Asher yinatzel elecha, who, sneaks away from his family, from his nation. Okay? It should say that. Therefore, Me'ima Donav doesn't make sense. Me'ima Donav sounds like it's talking about a slave. So therefore, Ela Amar Rabbi Yoshia, now remember, we're looking for Rabbi Achid to Rabbi Yoshia. Rabbi Achid to Rabbi Yoshia, not Rabbi Yoshia. So we're not yet up to our issue. Rabbi Yoshia says, B'mocher avdo l'chutz al aretz ha-katub b'daber. This pasuk, lo tazgir eved al Adonav, means if your eved, you sell him to chutz al aretz, you're no longer allowed to enslave him, right? Because you sold him to chutz al aretz. V'kashele, the Rabbi Achai b'Rabbi Yoshia, now finally we get to him. He says, that doesn't make any sense, because hi, asher yinatzel elecha. It says, asher yinatzel elecha me'im Adonav. It doesn't say, asher yinatzel me'imcha mibayle, right? Asher yinatzel me'imcha means if he gets away from you. Here it says, asher yinatzel elecha. He runs away and comes to you. This is someone who you gave away, not someone who's coming to you. So therefore, the pasuk doesn't work according to you either. So, El Amar Rabbi Achiba Rabbi Yoshia, what does he say this pasuk is talking about? Be'eved shebarach mechutz al ha'aretz, ha'katub medaber. It's talking about a slave who ran away from chutz al ha'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, ha'katub medaber. Okay, and then, so now let's go all the way back. What happened? The slave ran away, right? And what did they say? If he ran from chutz al ha'aretz to Eretz Yisrael, what did we say? The pasuk now says, Lo tazgir eved al Adonav. You can no longer enslave him. And that's what the person told, right? The rabbi told this eved that ran away to chutz la'aretz. He said, you have to give him a get shikur, because the pasuk says, Lo tazgir eved al Adonav. According to Rabbi Achai b'Rabbi Yoshia, what does it mean? That you cannot enslave someone who ran away. Asher yinatzel me'im Adonav. What does it mean, yinatzel me'im Adonav? Who ran away from his master to Eretz Israel, became chayav mitzvot liyot ba'aretz, and if you now take him out, you're going to basically prevent him from doing all those mitzvot. And therefore, you're not allowed to do that. Okay? So, that's his translation of this pasuk. Now, we're going to get one last translation. Tanya Idaf, there's a braita that says, Lo tazgir eved al Adonav, Rebbe Omer, what does this pasuk mean? Bilokeach eved al menat l'shachriro ha-katub b'daber. If you buy an eved saying, I will release you upon purchasing you, then you're not allowed to ever have him work for you, even though you bought him. Okay? You buy him to free him, then he can't work for you anymore. Hey Chidami, what exactly is this case? I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Dekatav Lehachi, in the Shtar Mechira, this is what you wrote. Lekisha Ekachecha, Harei Atzmacha Knuya Lecha Me'achshav. Okay? That when I purchase you, your body will be sold to you immediately. It will be yours, and that's the Pasuk Lo Tazgir Eved Al Adonav in that situation. Okay, that's just another interpretation.
In the other case, he's an Epic Kanani that is going to be chayv in mitzvot tliyot ba'aretz coming from a non-Jewish master.
No, no, no. From a Jewish master. Wait.
In chutz la'aretz?
Yeah, he would belong to a Jewish master in chutz la'aretz. Yeah. Yeah, this is training from one Jewish master to another.
Okay.
Rav Chista, arek le'avda le'beit kutai. Rav Chista had an eved who ran away to Beit Kutai. Shalach lehu, hadru hani aleh. They sent to him and they said, bring him back. Shalchule, they said back to him, lo tazgir eved al Adonav. Right? You're not allowed to do that. Okay? Shalach lehu, you have to skip all this parentheses. Shalach lehu, hahu be'eved shebarach michutz la'aretz la'aretz. Why are you using that pasuk? Rav Chista was in chutz la'aretz. He ran away from one place in chutz la'aretz to another place, right? And he tried to get him back and they said, oh, sorry, lo tazgir eved al Adonav. If your eved runs away, he doesn't go back to you. He says, what are you talking about? That's only if he runs away to Eretz Yisrael, right? It has nothing to do with running away within Bavel. Ukidu Rabbi Achi b'Rabbi Yoshaya, right? And according to the interpretation of Rabbi Achi b'Rabbi Yoshaya. Umayishna deshalach le kidu Rabbi Achi b'Rabbi Yoshaya. Then they ask a good question. They say, why did he have to say, like Rabbi Achi b'Rabbi Yoshaya? Really, anyone, right? You could have explained it according to Rebbe, for example, that it's only Bilokech Eved Amanat L'Shachara, Ketub Medaber. In other words, there's a bunch of interpretations that would have excluded their interpretation. So why did he say specifically him? So the answer is Mishum Dimash Malu Krai, because he thought that was the most obvious pshat. In other words, the pshat of the pasuk is the strongest according to him, as we saw before, right? Because all the other ones had issues with the translation. Abai irkas lechamra bekutai. Abai lost his chamor in bekutai. Shalach lehu shadru hali. He sent to them, send it back to me. Shalchule shlach simana. Send a siman. That's yours. Shalach lehu dechivra krese. His I think it's the stomach?
Belly,
right. His belly is white. Shalchule ilav dinachmaniat lo havim shadrina le nialach. If you weren't a Talmid Chacham, we never would have returned this to you, because every chamor has a white belly, so that's not really a great siman. But this goes along with, we're going to see this in Bava Metzia, that you can send something to a Talmid Chacham, you can assume he's being honest. There's an assumption that Talmidei Chachamim are honest, and therefore, if they say something, like I recognize it, even without giving real simanim, it's okay. This isn't obviously that he recognized it because he wasn't there, but if he gives some sort of siman that works, then it's enough. Okay, now we're getting to a really interesting Mishnah about pigyon shvuyim, okay, releasing captives. Ein podin et hashvuyim yeter al kedei demehem, mishum mipnei tikkun olam. You can't redeem... We can't redeem captives for a lot more money than they're worth because of Tikkun Olam. Okay, this is obviously relevant, right? Taking, buying back bodies, and the whole debate we have always every time, do we you know, give in to terrorism or not? So there's two possible issues here about what the issue is. Do we not allow this because, okay, this is when they're asking for high prices. Is it because we don't want the tzibur to basically have to take upon themselves such a strong... financial burden for the community, okay, which would obviously mean that if somebody's very wealthy and they want to do it themselves, then there's no problem, okay? Or, and this could be a big naftamina, or is it the issue that we don't want to encourage terrorism, right? We don't want to encourage people taking more captives, in which case it wouldn't matter, right, whether you have all the money in the world or not. There was a famous case with the Maharami Rutenberg, who was taken captive, and he died in captivity, and he told the people, do not release me, because of this Mishnah, basically. And eventually, I think it was 14 years after he died, eventually some very wealthy man spent the money and got his bones back. But which is interesting, because he said, don't do that, and he did it anyway. So again, if you say it's that he didn't want the burden of the tzibur, so here this one person just paid the money. But if you say he was worried about future ramifications, then obviously it's somewhat more problematic. Okay, next case. Ve'ein mavrichin et hashvuyim mipnei tikkun ha'olam. And Rashbah omer mipnei takanat hashvuyim. This is, you don't help captives to try to run away. Again, either because of tikkun olam, because we're worried that they'll, we're going to see in a minute what exactly the difference is, whether you say it's tikkun olam or mipnei takanat hashvuyim. So hold off for 1 minute on this. Ibai elihu. Ha mipnei tikkun olam. Okay, here they ask the question I said, which is, this tikkun olam, is it because of the dochak of the tzibur, that we don't want to make the tzibur struggle so much? Or is it because de lo ligru v'leite tfei, that we won't encourage them to do more? Tashma, let's learn it from here. De levi bar darga, parka lebarte betleser alfe dinare zahav. He went and redeemed his daughter for 13,000 dinare zahav, obviously a huge sum of money. Amar Abaye, this doesn't prove anything, right? In other words, the proof was going to be, since he did it, it must be that you're allowed to. So Abaye says, obviously, Uman le malan de bertzon chachamim avad, dilma shelo bertzon chachamim avad. Who says he did this in the, right? Because the chachamim wanted it. Now, by the way, this is a really interesting situation where you can imagine that people might do things against what the rabbis say, because they don't, you know, there's certain situations that people say, you know, I don't care, I'm doing it anyway. When your daughter's in captivity, you're not going to really pay attention whether the Chachamim want you to do this or not, right? As opposed to other situations where maybe you'd be more makpid. In this case, you could see that if the Chachamim say, because of this takana, we don't want you to do this, and you just say, I'll do anything to get my kid, I don't really care. Right? And this goes on also with shvuyim and stuff. Also, there's always a debate between the government sometimes and the families, because the families obviously want their children back, and the government says, we have to look at the broader picture. So therefore, Abaye has a lot of logic in saying, you know, that doesn't prove anything. I also thought for a minute that Abaye, if he's worried about, you know, Abaye was very poor, and I thought that maybe that also had something to do with it. In other words, here he was looking at this rich guy who bought his daughter out and saying, like, you know, don't learn lessons from these people. Like, they live in their own world, or I don't know. You know, it could be having to do with also his position in life. ואם מבריחים את השבויים מפני תיקון העולם, רשב"ג אומר מפני תקנת שבויים, מהי ביניו? אי כביניו דלי כאל אחד. Okay, so now what's the difference here? One is מפני תיקון העולם because of future, you know, what they might do to future. They might take more captives in the future. They might torture more captives in the future. Rashbag says it's because of the shvuyim that are there right now, that if one runs away, right, they're all going to get killed. In fact, I went to visit a concentration camp in Germany where my grandfather had been. And when I was there, nobody ever knew how he had died. And when I was there, I had his date of death. And when I was listening to the audio guide there, it turns out that just before he died, there was this big, someone had tried to escape. And as a result, they killed 150 of the prisoners that were there. And that was clearly connected to why he, you know, was right around the day that he had died. And that's, you know, so if you try to escape, when you try to help people escape, it often causes suffering to the other captives. So that's the difference here. If there's only one captive, then you don't have to worry. If you help him escape, if you say it's sakanat shvuyim, so there are no other shvuyim. If you say it's because of future, you know, they might take more captives, well, then it's going to be irrelevant whether there's one or whether there's more. Okay, now we get to a very interesting story. Binti de Rav Nachman Bachshan Kdeira Biyadayu. The daughters of Rav Nachman They had this big pot that they were stirring, okay? What does this sound like? Like witches, okay? They stirred often this big cauldron with their hands. And what was the issue here? They stirred this big hot cauldron with their hands, and what happened? Their hands didn't burn. So now, people didn't know, are they witches and doing witchcraft? Or, what's the opposite option? They're superhuman powers, you know, they're amazing women who are on a high madrega that they can do this kind of stirring and nothing will happen to them, okay? You have all sorts of themes in here. In fact, I read about this story in one of Yona Frankel's books. Yona Frankel was a very big choker of midrash, and he has all sorts of interesting things about midrashim. And he talks about that this most likely was some sipur amami, like a folk tale, it has all the folktale elements, and then the rabbis took it and turned value into it, okay? They added their own things into it. So here they were stirring this pot, their arms, their hands didn't burn. Kashile the Rav Elish. Rav Elish said, something doesn't make sense here. K'tiv, Adam echa me'elef matzati, v'isha b'chol ele lo matzati. Right, there's a man in, you know, one in a thousand I found, but a woman like that, there's no such thing. Okay, here's one of those really negative statements about women. There are no unique women, but on the other hand, ha'ika binti de Rav Nachman, right? But there are the daughters of Rav Nachman who seem to be, you know, these unique characters who seem to be amazing. Because of this, the story tells, okay, because he wanted to figure out, are they really good or not, this is what happened. Garmaluhu milta. Something caused, okay, this caused something to happen. V'ishtabyan, v'ishtabai iunami bahadayu. They were taken into captivity and he was taken into captivity. And through the story in captivity, we're going to find out were they really good or not. Yom echad, havayativ gabeahu gavra, havayada belishna ditzipore. One day, he was sitting with this man who knew the lishonot of the tziporim. He could understand bird language. He could hear the birds and understand what they're saying. Ata orva v'kakarile. A bird, a raven came and called out to Rav Elish. Amar le, so he says to the bird, guy who understands bird talk, my kamar, what did the bird say? Amar le, he said, Elish brach, Elish brach. Elish, go run away. Amar, what did Elish say? Or v'shikrahu, v'lo smichnale. The orev lies, like in Noach, right? The Noach story. The orev didn't tell the truth, right? He wasn't ready yet. And therefore, I'm not going to rely on him. Adhachi ata Yona, okay, then a Yona comes, a dove, right, from the Yona story, v'kakarya, and he called him also. Amarle says to the bird caller, the bird understander, Maika Amra, what did he say? Amarle, Elish brach, Elish brach. Amar, Knesset Yisrael ki Yona mityala, right, Knesset, we're nimshalim to a Yona, Yisrael, therefore, Shema Mina, Mitrachesh Le Nisa. Therefore, I understand from here that what's going to happen? If I run away, a miracle will happen to me. Amar, Ezel Achse Binte de Rav Nachman. I'm going to go bring the Binte of Rav Nachman with me. Ikaiman Behem Nutayu, Ahadrinu. And I'm going to go to the daughters of Rav Nachman. And if they really are true Sadikot, Then, Hadrianu, I'll bring them back with me. Amar, what did he say? How am I going to figure out if they're really tzadikot or not? So here we get a good, another one of these amami things. Nashe komile di'itlehu, sadran lahadade babet hakiseh. Anything that women really want to talk about, like the truth, is going to come out when they're in the bathroom. They're going to talk to each other in the bathroom. So what did he do? He went to the bathroom, outside the bathroom, and listened to them talking while they were in the bathroom. This is, by the way, people. There's something about people say you shouldn't talk when you're in the bathroom. I think it comes from here, if I remember correctly. Shamidhu deka amran adi guvran unahardei guvran lema luhu lishvuyaihu delirchaku mehacha. What did they say? These men who took us into captive are our husbands. And in Nahardea, we also have husbands. We should tell the Shvuyim that they should keep us far away from here. They should move us to a new place so that our husbands don't come redeem us. Okay, because obviously, what were they doing? They were sleeping with the guys who took them into captivity, and therefore they prefer them, and they don't want to go back to their original husbands. So obviously, now it becomes clear that these women are no good nicks. Come, Arik. He gets up and he runs away by himself. Okay, Ata iu vahu gavra lidide. Okay, what happens? He goes to run away, and the guy who listened to her, the birds, also ran with him. He said, if this guy's going to escape, then I'm going to escape on his tail. Itrachish le'nisa, so a miracle happens to him, to Elish. Avar b'mavra, okay, and he went across the mavar, the crossing, what do you call it?
It says a cross on a ferry.
Right, the cross on a ferry. Vahu gavra eshkechua v'katlua, but the bird listener got killed. Okay? Kihadran v'atam, when he got back, Amar, he said, what was the whole point of the story? Remember, he was trying to figure out, are they witches or are they special women? Amar, havu kabach shankidra bikshafim. They must have had witchcraft in their dera, and that's why it saved them.
This is they came back to.
What?
This is eventually they came back to.
Oh, when they, okay. Kihadran v'atam, thank you. When the women came back, okay. Eventually they got taken out. And then he wanted to set the record straight. And he said, don't go near these women. They're dangerous. First of all, Haram Nachman had these daughters that were witches, right? And the suspicion of these men about these women is a very interesting theme here. Why the bird watcher is here at all? Yonah Frankel points this out. He says, you could have the whole story without the bird listener. In other words, you don't really need him in the story. So part of it is what he says is that it's all about understanding things. Like, he might be able to understand what the birds say, but he didn't really understand what the birds were saying. In other words, he didn't translate it right. In other words, he translated literally, but he didn't understand that all he said was Elish Barach, and he took it one step further without really listening to what they were saying. And they were saying that Elish can get away, but no one else can get away. Okay, and he obviously didn't have enough schuyot on him. And part of the story is also about having schuyot and, you know, who gets saved and who doesn't get saved, although what's interesting is the women do get out in the end. So somehow they do get out. Anyway, there's a lot you can do with the story. We don't have any time. Okay, we'll go a little bit further. This is, by the way, very relevant. Post-Holocaust, right? There's all sorts of... In fact, I was looking. I knew there were these stories about it. I found one article from 2015 that some boy had found a drum in Poland made out of... made out of cloth of a Sefer Torah. I seem to remember something when I taught in Pelech in Jerusalem, that the girls went on a mishlacha to Poland and they saw all in the market all sorts of things that were made out of cloth and they started just buying them. I didn't find anything written about it, but I remember them telling some story about it. So anyway, here it's telling you, you can't buy them for a huge amount of money. Mipnei tikkun olam. Okay, because we're worried again that they'll sell them for, you know, a ton of money, and they'll take advantage, and they might, you know, there's all sorts of things that could happen as a result. Amar le Rav Budya, le Rav Ashi, yeter al kedei demeim hudein lokhin, ha bichtei demeim lokhin. Now, what does it sound like here? That if they sell it for a regular price, you're allowed to buy it. Shmamina, what does we learn from here? Sefer Torah shenimtza biyad ovei kochavim korim bo. Right? It sounds like you're allowed to read from Sefer Torah that found Bidei of Dei Kohavim because, right, if you're allowed to buy it, well, then it must be you can read from it. So they say, no, Dilma lignos. Maybe you have to buy it, but to put it in kinesis so it doesn't get mistreated, right? That's the whole thing with all the, in Poland, you know, when they use it for all sorts of random things, drums and, you know, things that are obviously a disgrace. I'm Rav Nachman. Now we're going to have a whole discussion, very interesting, about when you have a Sefer Torah by an Oved Kochavim or by a Min. Okay, we're going to, what's a Min? A Min is an early Christian, basically. Okay, they were heretics, you know, Jews who basically turned to Christianity. Okay, as opposed to a regular Oved Kochavim, there's a difference. Okay, Rashi even says maybe it means like a Komer, you know, someone who is high up in the Oved Kochavim, but others say it's just, you know, anything, you know, any early Christian. So what do they say? Amar Rav Nachman, Naktina, we learn that Sefer Torah Shktavo Min Yisareif, has to be burned. A Sefer Torah that a Min writes has to be burned. Ktavo Ove Kochavim Yiganez. Okay, if the Ove Kochavim wrote it, then you just have to put it in the Gneza. Okay, it's not good, you can't read from it, but you don't have to burn it. Nimtza Biyad Min, no, that's if they wrote it. What if you just find it in their hands? You don't know if they wrote it or not. So now, nimtza biyad min, if it's in the hands of a min, yiganez. Nimtza biyad akum, amre la yiganez, va amre le korimbo. Some people say it has to go to Gneza, and others say, this is very interesting, right? Nimtza biyad ovei kochavim, you can actually read from it. And why is that? Because, okay, Rashi says it's a sfeik sfeika. Rashi says it's a sefek, whether a Yisrael wrote it or an akum wrote it. Okay? And then it's a sefek, if the Akum did write it, maybe he wrote it to sell to a Jew. Now, from here, it seems clear that an Ove Kochavim can write a Sefer Torah that you can read. Okay? So, it's just a question of depending on how he wrote it. Did he write it L'Shem Avodat Kochavim, or did he write it, you know, it could be a good profession, to be a sofer, to sell Sefer Torah to Jews. Right? So, if he does that, there's some opinion that says that he can do that. And that's going to be part of our discussion. Tosfot says here, actually, he has a different explanation. He says, he says it's not a sfeik sfeika. He says it's just more likely that a Jew wrote it. If you talk about percentages, right, normally sfeikot, you say 50-50. In this case, it's not a 50-50, because what are the chances are that an Ovei Kochavim wrote a Sefer Torah? So therefore, if you find a Sefer Torah from a non-Jew, you can assume that the Jew must have wrote it. In other words, the chances are that a Jew wrote it. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up from here tomorrow. Sorry that we're way behind, but we'll catch up. And we're going to get into interesting discussions about can a non-Jew write a Sefer Torah or not, and very, very interesting.